Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble! As always, I am Tony Cavallo, joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, and Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crooks, and we are here, the Left Coast Gamblers are here, to break down the divisional weekend, usually the best weekend the NFL has to offer, and boy, do we have some juicy matchups for you. The great Green Bay Packers, a bye week team, are facing the toughest game on their schedule. Those 13-3 New Orleans Saints are coming into town, and the New England Patriots are going to Kansas City. New versus old, Mahomes versus... Hold on, Tony. Time out 1 second.
Tony, that was mean.
These matchups aren't happening. These great teams that were supposed to roll through Wild Card Weekend are not going on to face the bye week teams. What happened last weekend, guys?
Wow.
Unbelievable. Wow. Unbelievable. As is the course of the Left Coast Gamblers, what we've been doing all season, we don't talk about the past, we move on to the future. We're not going to be breaking down the games that happened, but I do want to talk a little bit about the death of the New England Patriots. Dangles had a hell of a weekend. He won the bet so far, went 3-2 on the week. He gave out every prop that Dangles gave out hit.
Really?
Every single prop that he gave out
hit. The two overtime one was, I couldn't believe it.
Well, I did give out Baltimore plus 225 to win the Super Bowl versus the field, but the other three I nailed.
Might as well take it. Two overtimes, exactly two overtimes.
And it took him off the first drive of the weekend to hit the quarterback.
That was the biggest one. Yeah. He hit the over on field goals for the weekend, and the best bet of the week. The reason I am so happy right now because I lost all of my bets. I went 1-4 on the show, continued that trend with actual Tony Cavallo money, but I took the biggest bet I made all week was Dangles' bet plus 500 that a non-QB would throw a touchdown pass on the whole weekend, and it hit on the first drive of the game.
Thank you, John Brown.
Unbelievable. So Dangles is hot. We'll be riding him. But first, Dangles, you're no longer allowed to talk about your Patriots except for right now. Because
Fair.
For the first time in the history of this podcast, not just the Left Coast Gamblers, but the Left Coasters in general, the 4 years Dangles and I have sat here to talk about football, his Patriots have been in contention. Every single week, his Patriots have been in contention. They are no longer there anymore, buddy, losing to the Tennessee Titans. So Dangles, this is your moment. Talk about the death of your team.
The student becomes the master. Mike Vrabel bests his old coach in the playoffs. It was sad to watch. The offense didn't come together as I think a lot of people expected. And Tennessee, and they just could not stop Derrick Henry. That was the headline of the game for me. He just ran train all day on the Patriots' supposedly vaunted defense.
Who can
stop
Derrick Henry?
So, I mean, nobody's been able to do it. We'll see if Baltimore has a better shot at it this weekend. I don't really want to talk much about the past in the game, like I said.
Let's talk about the future then. Your Patriots moving forward just quickly. Brady, free agent. Belichick wanting to leave. They already lost a special teams coordinator to become a head coach somewhere else. McDaniels might get the Cleveland job. Dangles, what's going on in Foxborough?
I mean, we'll have to see. I don't think Brady goes anywhere else. I know he said he doesn't want a one-year deal, and I really don't see him being anything anywhere else other than a bridge to another quarterback or someone to mentor a young guy. And I can tell you he doesn't want to be that. He thinks he can still win. He's 43 years old. He's, you know, he's going to take hits somewhere else. You have to have a team that's built for him, right? He's not a mobile guy. He's already got that sort of infrastructure built in New England. So I think as long as Belichick stays there, he knows he's QB1 in New England, and I think he wants to continue to win. So I just don't see him going anywhere else, taking a 1-year deal, being a Band-Aid guy, being a bridge guy to another quarterback, and then just kind of being shooed out on their terms when they're ready to install the new quarterback.
Guys, really wanted more sadness out of him.
Well, and I think that's kind of the tone of New England fans. If you listen to podcasts across the country or just listen or hear any really commentary, I think New England fans are pretty set in their ways that I think Brady will be back. Who knows if this is all kind of a publicity stunt to get better help around him. And yeah. I have two words for you guys, and I didn't even think about this until I read this recently. Austin Hooper. He might look decent on that Patriots staff. Mm. The only really logical place I've seen him land is the Indianapolis Colts, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Tennessee Titans. Like, can you imagine Tom Brady in any of those jerseys, especially the hometown Chargers? Now, I get they're opening the field, but how can you look Bob Kraft in the eye and say, you know what, Bob, I'm going to go play for Dean Spanos? I don't really see it. I think Brady will be back. I don't think the Pats dynasty is dead. I think they will be back. Now, who knows if they're going to be Super Bowl contenders for the next 3 years, but something tells me we have not seen the end of this dynasty, and you can't pull a cart without horses. They just have horses this year.
Definitely.
Bottom line is, if they don't get him weapons, he is going to be, I think, more inclined to shop his wares somewhere else. But again, who's going to take a gamble 1 year on a 43-year-old quarterback who looked a lot more like 43 this year than, I mean, for
I would,
1 year,
I would,
for
I would,
1 year
I would.
To win
it's
it all?
Tom fucking Brady.
I guess so.
Dangles, listen, I really wanted you to be
I'm
more
sorry,
sad
I'm
here.
I'm sorry, I'm not more
I had
sad
whole,
for you.
I had a whole grand plan to play the Gravestones music under him and him not to know about it. But again, the Patriots are still there. And also, there is new hope on the horizon for many teams. The Patriots have stuff to do, but four teams have hired a new head coach. Ron Rivera is now the Washington general. My man Mike McCarthy is back in Dallas. Joe Judge, that's his name.
Joe Judge.
The special teams coordinator from New England is now the head coach in New York Giants after they got snubbed by the Baylor head coach Matt Rhule going to Carolina. We're not going to talk much about these coaches because we'll be doing all these offseason podcasts, but I just want to say I'm very happy for fat Mike McCarthy to be back in our lives. I'm so effing happy.
CBD on that one. I'm very intrigued by the hire. We'll talk more. Very intrigued.
Cleveland Browns still available.
Didn't Mike McCarthy say something like,
anybody want the Cleveland Browns job? Anybody in the back? Anybody in the back want the Cleveland Browns job?
No.
They're looking for people.
Nobody wants the Cleveland Browns job.
They're looking for people.
The Redskins job. The Redskins job went before the Browns job.
How about Schefter saying what was true real quick about the Browns? Everyone that has gone to the Browns has ended up a dumpster fire.
Yep.
No one comes out of that job better or does anything
valuable or marketable to other teams.
Everyone that goes there just goes to die.
Well, what about Carolina? What do you guys think about the Matt Rhule hire out of Baylor? The poncho, unfortunately, is going to stay in Waco, but they do have a guy who really wants to win, it sounds like.
Also a TBD. It's interesting, whenever a college coach comes in, they paid him a lot of money to be there. 7-year deal, plus paying his buyout at Baylor. The owner has boatloads of money and was very excited. He was slapping his wife on the ass during the press conference, okay? They're excited about this guy. Who knows what will actually happen.
Really?
Let's go forward here.
That's nice.
Let's move forward. Jeez. Before we break down the games, we have another caller coming in to represent his team, Bo Rock, Buffalo Bo Rock. I'm sad for you, but you ain't calling this week, guys.
No, guys, I have yet to even reach out to that guy.
It's tough.
I know he's listening.
It's
got to
be tough.
I'm going to reach out tomorrow, man. I feel for you, buddy. We'll talk more about it. Love you.
I do want to talk about something that happened real quick because it might not happen to this week of the NFL, but if past tells us anything, if history tells us anything, this will change the NFL in the future, and that is the XFL. Vince McMahon's XFL! They had a league that came by when we were very young. They played this XFL, and they tried to incorporate some rule changes where they raced to the ball for the kickoff instead of a coin toss, stuff like that. But stuff that they created crept its way into the NFL, including the Skycam. We wouldn't have the Skycam today if it wasn't for the XFL. So they unveiled what their rule changes will be as they start their season after this Super Bowl. And I want to go through a couple of them with you guys, see if any of them stick with you. And one of them in particular makes me very interested to see what's going to happen to the future of the NFL. They have some easy ones, like there's going to be only 1 foot in bounds for a catch, a running game clock the whole entire game until you get to 2 minutes, 25-second play clock, 2 timeouts per half. They're trying to quicken the game. No coaches' challenges. There's just a replay official. The 4 big ones that you hear about. One of them is they're allowing a double forward pass. That's behind the line of scrimmage. I think there's a little bit more fanciness to that than anything. They're just trying to create eliminate laterals. So double forward passes are allowed. Overtime is going to be a shootout type thing where it's one team has one play, the other team has another play. It's going to be quicker, more fast-paced. The two that are interesting to me, though, extra points, 0 in the XFL. Instead, you can do 3 things. You can attempt to play from the 2-yard line for 1 point, from the 5-yard line for 2 points, from the 10-yard line for 3 points. Now, interesting.
So essentially, it's like Los Angeles flag football.
Yes. So interesting, interesting as a football fan, terrible for a gambler. Those numbers are going to be all over the place now.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, maybe 4. I don't know. There's punting. They're eliminating coffin corner kicks. Okay? If you punt and you get in the end zone, the other team starts at the 35-yard line. If you kick off and the team starts at the end zone, you're starting at the 35-yard line. Teammates cannot move until the ball is kicked on a punt or a kickoff. A lot of crazy rules. The one that has me going, though, the one that has my juices flowing, is finally someone is allowing the use of Hawkeye technology in a football game.
Ooh.
If you watch tennis, you see the serve coming in 120 miles per hour, the judge goes, out! And then they go to the camera. And there's immediately, 10 seconds later, a slow-mo version of a computer reading the ball and on the line, whether it's out or in and a little bit out and in, and it's never been wrong.
Best technology in sports.
Down to a millimeter they have
this. It's unbelievable.
Now they're using it in football. This is the technology that I think will creep into the NFL. How awesome would it be if we didn't have to worry about spotting the football, if we didn't have to worry about whether the ball crossed the goal line, if we didn't have to worry about whether the guy stepped out of bounds. All of that can be solved by technology. Soccer and tennis, two of the oldest sports in the world, use this technology to their advantages. Can't wait to see the NFL.
Yeah, I think it'll be a while, though, before the NFL adopts that, because you'll have the unions for the crew guys, the chain gangs.
Fire them.
Will not be. Yeah, but it's not that simple. They will make sure that's going to be an issue. I'm not saying they won't eventually back down or figure it out in some way, and I do hope it gets to the NFL, but I can bet you the unions for whoever the union is for those chain gang guys, they will they won't let that just happen lying down.
Well, here's the thing, Dangles. You may be right in that, but the union guys would be smart to collaborate with technology, because it's coming, and there's no other proof of that than the minor leagues are rolling out their electronic strike zone this year to test out the bugs for the major leagues. It could be there as soon as 2021.
Well, the umps union has agreed to allow it in a limited fashion.
Correct, because you know there needs to be a collaborative effort because technology is coming. So if I'm a human as part of a union and the Teamsters and Jimmy Hoffa, whatever the hell we're talking about, I would definitely get with the times.
I think you have to. I think it's the future, and I'm waiting for referees to be taken off the field completely. They should be ref by computers. It's down to a science, most of these
so
calls.
So you don't see any utility in the human error side of sports?
Eliminate
the, even, you know, because, you know, obviously in baseball, that's kind of like a lot of the purists would say, well, that's a big part of it is every ump has a different strike zone, you know, that kind. And a human error is part of the game. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying baseball purists will say that.
If I can take any error out of the game that I love, I would do it. And bringing up baseball, Dangles, I'm happy you did, because once again, we have to sadly, as I'm contractually obligated, go to a word from our sponsors. But after that, we'll be getting back to sport people care about, the NFL.
Oh, Christ.
Are you a true American like me? Do you wake up and wonder, when will the next MLB season begin? Do you sit anxiously by the dinner table waiting for the hot stove to serve up some juicy deals? Do you have season tickets to your hometown team's AA affiliate? If that sounds familiar, then boy, do I have a podcast for you. Touching Base with Alan and Eric is the nation's premier MLB podcast, dishing all the necessary news you need and the go-to guide for all 162 glorious games. And unlike today's version, this podcast only has one true outcome: pleasure. So when you're out at the bar, don't
strike out
talking ball with your boys, but rather hit a
home run
with the facts by listening to Touching Base with Alan and Eric, available on SoundCloud and Instagram. That's Touching Base with Alan and Eric, the five-tool podcast prospect that every scout needs.
Hey, now, better come on now, kid.
Right, here we go, twos. Here we go, twos. Put one in the hole here, baby.
Left Coasters.
And now we are here starting to break down the divisional weekend, the best weekend in sports, hopefully. Hopefully the lines are a little large for this weekend, but the first game on the docket is a game that gives us a lot of fun. Minnesota did so well. They brought me so much joy taking out those New Orleans Saints. The worry of mine, it is my birthday weekend, and Green Bay is playing a bye week team on my birthday weekend, and if they had to play the Saints, I knew I was going to have a bad birthday, but there's a chance. There's a chance because of these Vikings. Dangles, our first divisional game. Mr. King of the bets. Mr. 3-2. All right, you're not so good, but the props were better. We're each going to make a bet on this game. And then
hey,
give
3-2, you can build mansions and a yacht, buddy.
Exactly. We're each going to give a pick on each of these games and then a teaser at the end. We're going to start right here. What starts us off, divisional weekend, diggity, Dangles?
All right, first game, 4 o'clock, 4:30, I suppose, on the East Coast. 1 o'clock for us. Plebes out here on the West Coast. The Minnesota Vikings are in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium, woo, taking on the San Francisco 49ers, the woo, cream of the NFC crop. The spread is 7 points, boys, in favor of the San Francisco 49ers.
Yep.
And the total is 44.
Okay.
44, okay, is your total.
And as last week was, we could not break the first game of the playoffs down without a little bit of help from our friends. So, Drew, who do we have coming in today?
Guys, I am so pumped to introduce a man that you both know, my good friend, Howard Joshua Mills. He is the biggest Vikings fan I know. We have kindred Midwest spirits. I happened to live with him for the Minnesota Miracle.
Yep.
And, of course, the week after when they got blown out in Philly in the NFC Championship game. But I can say he is a legitimate Vikings fan, a familiar NFC foe, NFC North foe for me and you, Tony.
Yep.
And I got to ask, Josh, welcome to the show. Tell me, please. I want you to set the table for us. Your viewing pleasure on Sunday afternoon. How was your volume, sir?
Wow. Let's see if I still have a voice. Hey guys, thanks for having me. You might as well call me Jay Money Mills.
Jay Money Mills.
Because after last weekend, I'm rolling in it.
Oh.
Vikings money line all week. I said it, and you know, I'm down in San Diego. I'm at my buddy's house. He's like, oh, we're going to go to this bar to watch the game. I did not know that it happened to be a Vikings bar when I walked in.
Wow.
I start seeing all these shirts, and I'm like, whoa. He surprised me and brought me to a Vikings bar in San Diego.
Wow.
Which is the Regal Seagull. For anybody down there that wants to go, it's a great spot.
I like the plug, Regal Seagull.
Yeah, the Regal Seagull. It's legit, great beer, great food, and it's cheap.
And it's apparently lucky, man. The Vikings won. Now, Howard, I have to ask you, how long have you been a Vikings fan, and where did it all start from with you?
Well, I have a strange background. I moved to Minnesota in fourth grade, so from fourth grade until now. And, yes, I am 40 years old, so that's about 30, I'd have to guess, roughly 30 years.
Yeah, you're not a math guy. It's okay.
Yeah, well, I used to be when it was simple math. That's pretty simple. But, yeah, it's been a long, long journey with not that many great moments, to tell you the truth.
No.
It's hard being a Minnesota sports guy. It's been since, you know, 1991, unless you count the Lynx, who win some championships in the WNBA. But we're not going there, are we?
I don't think so.
Not tonight.
No, not tonight.
Not ever.
But, you know.
Now, are you a little bit tepid this year? I mean, they are the sixth seed. It is Kirk Cousins going up against the vaunted San Fran defense. I know you might think that they win this game, but you truly, in your heart of hearts, think that there is happiness at the end of this tunnel?
I thought if we could play some defense and get the breeze and, you know, Cook could run a little bit and open it up for Cousins, I thought we had a chance. You know, my favorite part of next week is that there's no Taysom Hill, whatever his name is,
man.
He doesn't play for the 49ers because that man just lit the Vikings up.
I mean,
all he did was light us up. But, you know, besides him, they did an amazing job. So,
to your point, Taysom Hill, I mean, my God, I was watching that game. The Vikings clearly, to my surprise, were the better team. You really can't deny that. They were just the better team on Sunday. Taysom Hill single-handedly kept the Saints in that game.
Yeah.
And the Vikings defense made Breeze just look so old. I wanted to ask you specifically, you know, Thielen hasn't been right all year, and you've said that. You know, you said that to me during our numerous interactions with each other during this football season. He hasn't been right. Well, he comes out of nowhere, has a career game, And then you got Stephon Diggs acting kind of like a middle schooler throwing his helmet. What do you think the mindset of those receivers are going into Sunday? Because I think if Thielen's healthy, and I think if Diggs has his head on straight, you know, Dalvin Cook's obviously one of the best running backs in the league, then the Vikings can beat fucking anybody, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that we're the sixth seed. The underdog feeling is awesome. If we travel well, because we run the ball. If we can establish that run, we can do anything, in my opinion. But on that note, with you saying feeling healthy, he had a setback today at practice. He busted up his ankle today, so there's a little bit of worrisome there. One quick point, though. Taysom Hill should have been a Packer. The Packers let him go.
Yeah, I know. Glad
he's not playing he's not playing Detroit twice. He's not playing Vikings twice, thank God.
Now, I don't think there's any way around the fact that the Niners offense is really potent. They're going to run the ball down your throat. They're going to get the passing game going. They got some deep threats down the field. And I mean, I don't know about you. To me, this Minnesota defense doesn't look like the same defense that maybe it has been in past years. Xavier Rhodes doesn't look like the same corner that he's been.
No.
They haven't gotten as much pressure, I don't think, on the quarterback as they have in previous years. Are you at all, does that all concern you at all kind of going into it that they might just be able to move the ball on you at will?
Well, of course that's a concern. Absolutely. But, you know, we're rotating our defensive front. So we rotated them all game against the Saints. You know, they're supposed to have a good line. You know, the Saints, bottom line is, to me, the Saints were the best team in the NFC.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree too.
We just took them out. So
thank you.
So you should feel invincible.
I mean, I don't feel invincible. I'm not unrealistic, but I'm feeling really good going up to San Francisco. I'm gonna get in the car or get a flight. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I'm going up to that game.
Whoa! Wow, okay.
Wow. True fan right there.
I like that.
Going into enemy territory.
I like that. Hey, all right, Josh. Before we
are saying 40% Vikes fans up there.
I want to start breaking down this game, in particular the key matchups. But let me give you a little spoiler warning right now. We're gonna make a bet on this game, and right now in front of me, I have written down as my bet San Fran -7. Tell me something in this key matchup that you see that can change my bet right now.
Delvin Cook.
Hard to argue that.
Yeah.
Without Delvin Cook, you guys saw us against the Packers. We look like shit.
See, it wasn't just Delvin Cook missing in that Packers game, though, and this is what my key matchup is. It has to be my man Za'Darius Smith, the captain of my defense, ruined your offensive line. Preston Smith ruined your offensive line. They made Kirk Cousins' life miserable. They made it so Matt Boone could not find any light when he was handed the ball. I am a little bit worried, if I was you, that Minnesota's offensive line cannot contend against the likes of Bosa, Armstead, all those guys, those high draft picks against your crappy offensive line. That's where my key matchup lands. And I'm a little bit worried that even though there's Dalvin Cook back there, he's not going to have a lot of holes. Do you think they've gelled a little bit more in this with Dalvin Cook behind them, a little bit more excited? Do you think it's going to be tough?
Absolutely tough. San Francisco is not an easy win, obviously.
No.
I would say they're the second best team in the NFC, pretty much. They've kind of got that going for them. Yes, Bosa is a freak. We shut one of the Bosa brothers down. We're looking to do it twice because that guy couldn't even sneeze on Cousins last time when we played the Chargers.
Dangles, I want to hit on you, man. We've been going through key matchups. Do you have a key matchup in this game that you're looking at? Who wins this game and why?
I mean, I think you have to look at Anthony Barr a little bit to set the tone on that defense. He's going to be obviously captaining out there. He's good in coverage. He's good in the pass rush. He's 6'5". You can't teach that. I'm gonna look for him to set the tone at the middle linebacker position, I think.
And he once hit on your wife.
And he did once tell my wife that she had great chest. So there's that,
really?
Too. There is that, too. Yeah, she'll have to tell you about that. He's from Pasadena. He went to high school around here. He obviously went to UCLA, and my wife tells me, he once complimented her in that way. So
I've
so
been
great.
Around, I've
so
been
great.
Ar- I've been around Mills a handful of times when he's complimented women on their chest too. So maybe him and Bart kindred spirits.
Whoa! Not, that's just to you. I'm complimenting. I'm not telling any women. Let's get that straight.
Okay.
All right, Drew.
Anyways, hey, I didn't answer this one question though. Vikings money line. That's all I'm saying on that game. You said 7 points. Vikings money line all day.
He's got the Vikings money line. Drew, a key matchup before we make our bets, buddy.
Yeah, no, it sounds kind of vanilla, but it's obviously just Dalvin Cook's ability to run the ball against that defensive line, control the clock. And extend some drives for the Vikings. I think it comes out of that.
Let's get down to making our bets for this game. I have not gotten off my little mountain here. I have a theme this week, and it starts right now. San Fran minus -7. No offense, Mills. I think Minnesota gets destroyed this week. I think San Fran is a giant. I think they're a giant. Drew, let's go to you first, then we'll go to the current leader, Diggity Dangles.
Guys, ironically enough, this is honestly one of my toughest games to handicap over the weekend. I've kind of gone back and forth. My initial gut, Tony, was to fade Kirk Cousins. We've talked about it all year.
Yep.
You know, he's a different quarterback when he's not in that 1 p.m. Eastern time slot.
Yep.
Obviously, this is a Saturday game, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. So I wanted to fade him. But then I really started digging a little bit. So courtesy of R.J. Bell, our good friend, you know, division round since 2006, road teams – off a road game, getting a touchdown or more, 10-1 against the spread.
Wow.
That would apply to the Vikings this week. And also, we have Jimmy G playing his first playoff game.
Yeah.
Obviously, those stats I don't have in front of me, but they're bad.
Yeah.
So, an even touchdown, it's so tight here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings plus +7.
Yeah. Wow.
I can't quite take the money line against my buddy's advice where I missed an investment opportunity last week. I'm not going to take the money line, but I'm going to take Minnesota plus +7.
Dangles, my man, the leader in the clubhouse, Mr. Prop Genius over there. What do you got for this game?
I think there's going to be points in this first half. I'm going to go with the over in the first half.
The over in the first half.
And 21.5 is 21, the over.
Okay.
And is like the over in the first half. I think there's going to be scoring. That you're going to see a lot of rushing coming out of the gate. And that would be, you know, the other thing is, I think we can't overlook Kirk Cousins' potential impact on this game. I mean, he obviously
has. Good or bad.
I think his potential to be very good. I think his potential to be really good if Thielen's there and Diggs, you know, Diggs can be a game breaker too. We've seen it.
It'll be interesting to see if that monkey off the back for him, you know, he looked so relieved. And here's the thing, people make fun of Kirk Cousins. I've made fun of Kirk Cousins to Mills forever. Never thought he'd win anything with them. But, you know, after the locker room, you like that. Those guys tend to like him.
Yes.
They certainly are playing for him. Exactly. So it's not like he's some kind of dick that, you know, isn't a good leader. So I'm really interested to see how he performs this week.
All right, Mills, my man. It's going to be a great weekend for you. I hope you have fun in San Fran. I know you got the Minnesota money line on this game. Is there any other bet you want to implore upon the Left Coast Gamblers? Something that you think is going to hit, whether it's this week or the next? Do you have anything for us?
Seahawks.
Oh, you mother. Get out of here.
No, I just got to be – I'm just being honest. I think they're – yes, somehow you guys beat us twice this year.
Mm-hmm.
You did it. You did do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take that away. But just way too many close games. I don't know. I'm not buying.
Plus +4.5, I will say, is a lot of points for a Seahawks team that seems to play every game close.
Every game close. Green Bay does, too.
I think they're winning by 7-8 points.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Mills, if your team wins and my team wins, we're going to watch that NFC Championship game together, right?
But there's a small chance. The very small chance I'm going to try to go to that game.
If you go to Lambeau before I do, I'll never talk to you again.
I've been to Lambeau.
All right, then there we go. We can hang up on him now. Thank you for calling in, Mills. It was a great conversation.
You guys have a good night.
Mills,
enjoy this weekend.
We appreciate it, man. And,
Thank you, man.
We got some good candy here, boys.
I'm excited. All right, let's move on to the Saturday night game. I'm excited for this one, Dangle. Sadly, a Patriots, not a part of it.
Oh, thank you, Tony. That was nice.
Left Coasters.
All right, we are back, just the three of us. Saturday, January 11th, my birthday. Saturday night, a great game, the return of Lamar Jackson. Dangles, what's happening Saturday night?
Ooh, it's going to be a fun one. We've got the Tennessee Titans fresh off their win against my New England Patriots. They got another road game here. They got to go to Baltimore, M&T Bank Stadium, to take on the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, the yet-to-be-crowned MVP, but all but assured, probably. The line in this game, gentlemen, 9.5 points in favor of the home Ravens.
Big.
And the total here is 46.5.
Hmm. Hmm.
Strange total.
Okay, interesting, interesting. Tennessee, as we saw, Derrick Henry cannot be stopped. He is an effing monster. He did something that I haven't seen in an NFL game, let alone a college game. I haven't seen it since high school. There was one drive on the field where he accounted for all 75 yards of the Titans' yards that they got into the end zone. All 75. That's a high school stat.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unreal. And can Baltimore stop him? That's the question.
Well, and it's so funny because you hear from players or coaches or you know, commentators, like, people – have a genuine, they just don't want to tackle him. They physically don't want to tackle him. You saw in the playoffs, I'm not sure who, you might help me out here, Dangle, as a defensive back for the Patriots, like, Henry basically, you know, put his shoulder into him.
And he flattened
and the
him.
Patriots guy just kind of, like, backed up and just tried to, like, guide him to the ground.
That was McCourty.
It was unbelievable.
Best player.
Yeah, he just did not want any piece of that beast. Oh, my God.
He's unbelievable.
Well, it's, I mean, you know, Devin McCourty is a great safety, but he's not a huge dude.
Dangles, no more talking about the Patriots.
I'm sorry.
The Tennessee Titans are now going from New England, but to play a team that has ransacked the league. They have not lost in so long. They even won with RG3. It's Lamar Jackson, the MVP. Maybe Mark Ingram. He's still not practicing, but even if it's not Mark Ingram, that O-line and Gus Edwards is good enough to sort of replicate what they do. Can Tennessee stand a chance against the best team in the AFC?
I mean, Tennessee's hot. You
they
know,
are.
They're playing good. I when you think about their wins, they obviously lost a tough game to Houston at home, and they lost to New Orleans at home. They beat basically a Texans team dead in the water in Week 17, and obviously beat a Patriots team, which I'm just not sure how good they are. So I would kind of question their strength of schedule, but to say they don't have a chance, I mean, dude, there's eight teams left in the tournament.
Yep.
You can't really say no one has a chance.
Yep.
Except the Texans. They don't have a chance. We'll talk about that later. But absolutely. I mean, they have Derrick Henry. If they have Derrick Henry, they establish a run, they can do anything.
Well, I will say divisional weekend usually has surprises. There are a lot of big underdogs here, and one of them is going to win. It just most likely will happen that one of them will win. I don't know if it's the Texans, the Titans, the Vikings. I don't know.
Yep.
But the Titans have the recipe for success. They control the ball. New England won the game of possession in that game and still lost. But they Titans control the ball. They have a man you can't stop. Tannehill doesn't make mistakes. Looked a little shaky against New England, but he had ghosts there.
Well,
it's going to be a little different now. Monkey off of his back as well.
And
now you know who has a monkey on his back? Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
Last year in the playoffs, he was effing terrible.
He laid an egg.
He was effing terrible against an okay San
Diego team.
He's
a different human this year, though, I think.
Yeah. I agree with you, but it still contends. It's going to be a little cold in Baltimore. He's not a you know, outside, cold weather guy, and Titans have a damn good defense. You think Lamar's magic still holds?
He's MVP, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he's literally like what Patrick Mahomes was last year.
Yeah.
So I don't see him regressing at all. Mm. If the Ravens lay an egg, I don't think it'll be because of him.
Big line, though.
It's a lot, but and just so I was going to say this, Tony, the Titans fall under that 10-1 trend of teams off a road game in the wild card weekend getting a TD or more, 10-1 against the spread since 2006.
9.5.
I mean, I think, you know, it comes down to how well can Tennessee force him into situations where he's looking at third and long, I think. If he doesn't, and I think Coach Vrabel touched on this in a press conference earlier this week, and I agree with him. You know, his biggest weapon is still his feet.
Yep.
He's a good passer. He's an improved passer this year over last year, for sure. And I think he's a different person this year in the playoffs, and will be a different person this year than he was last year. But his bottom line, his biggest weapon are still his feet. So obviously you got to contain the edge. But if you put him in that offense in third long situations, then the Ravens defense, the Titans defense will be able to just do what they normally do on third down, as opposed to having to like stack the box and stop Lamar Jackson on the run, force him to pass, is what I'm saying, essentially.
I think the question is Tennessee facing third and twos or third and eights? That's the big question. What
exactly
does Derrick Henry do? What does he bring to that team? It's tough to stop him alone. You got to gang tackle the guy, but you can get through him. You can get through that offensive line. Third and two is manageable. Third and eight with Tannehill is not. I'm sorry. He doesn't have the, I like A.J. Brown. I don't think he has the weapons to beat that Baltimore defense. On the other hand, New England attacked this team, tried to get their wide receivers going, Edelman, N'Keal Harry, people like that. Baltimore is much more middle-of-the-field team. It's the tight ends. It's the running backs out the backfield. I'm thinking that those tight ends have a lot more success than the wide receivers of New England. Not saying the wide receivers of New England were terrible. They were. The tight ends have to have a game, and I think they do. Mark Andrews is tough to cover over the middle of the field. Titans are going to be hard-pressed to do that. Their corners are their strong point. Their middle linebackers are not.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right there. I don't know that Tannehill does have the weapons. A.J. Brown's not going to just be able by himself to beat what is a really stout Ravens secondary. I mean, you talk about Marcus Peters, Earl Thomas, Jimmy Smith. These guys can play ball,
guys,
you know?
I mean, I remember when Marcus Peters got traded this year, I was the one who kind of like poo-pooed it.
You weren't alone.
You know, he was horrible for the Rams. Horrible. And he's turned himself into literally an all-pro. He's been just completely incredible. Incredible.
Personally, I don't think there's any way we don't see Baltimore versus Kansas City in the AFC Championship. I think that's what the NFL wants. I think that's what we want as fans.
I agree.
But the gambling aspect of this. Yeah. We're trying to make you money on this show. We've been doing well. If you paid attention to Dangles' props, we're all making money on this show. So how are you going to make money on this game, Drew?
This is a dead nut under game to me, guys. It's really not even close. I mean, you look at two teams that are going to want to establish a run and two defenses that are not going to want to give up the big plays.
Yep.
So what's that going to mean? It's going to mean ball control.
Yep.
That's going to mean a lot of third and shorts. That's going to be a lot of the game clock winding down. 46.5, that's, you know, 6 touchdowns, 6 extra points and a field goal. I see this game very similar to kind of a Baltimore-San Francisco game,
yeah,
a Baltimore-Buffalo game. Both those games went under 40. This is, you know, I played the under last week, Tennessee-New England. That was even close, and I kind of was sweating at halftime, 0 points in the second half.
Yeah.
You know, Henry's going to get 25 carries. Lamar's going to run around. I think the defense is going to be really, conscious of that big chunk play. I think
yeah.
there's going to be a lot of, like, 7, 10, 12-yard gains, but I think – at least my handicap is they're going to limit the big plays. This is 100% a dead nut under 46.5.
This is tough for me because they didn't want to touch the over-under because Baltimore has been – they've been able to score 40
Oh, my God,
themselves.
They score in bunches, and they
yeah.
can blow people out too.
So you don't know what's going to happen there, and I don't know if I want to take the side because, again, Tennessee has played stout. They could make it a New England-type game where it's close until the finish and cover that spread. It's tough, but you know what I feel? This is what I think is going to happen. I tried to do this last week, and it failed me, but again, my QB got injured halfway through the game, and of course, Josh McCown ain't going to win you any games in Philadelphia, but...
That was unlucky.
But I think Baltimore comes out firing. I think they come out with a great scheme, a great sort of script for those first 10 plays. I think they find early success, and I think Tennessee is going to struggle in the beginning of that game. Crowd will be going crazy, all that stuff. Question is, can Tennessee hang on after this initial bum rush? But I think I'm taking... not the first half, the first quarter, Baltimore. The first quarter, Baltimore is -3.5 right now, and that's what I'm taking Baltimore to come out and be winning by more than 3.5 points when the clock strikes zero in the first quarter. That's my bet. Dangles, leader in the clubhouse, where are you going, buddy?
You know, I think this game is going to be close. I do like your under bet, Drew. I tend to agree with you about the ball control sort of thing and the establishing the run. I do think Tennessee is going to keep this close, though. I'm going to take the spread. 9.5 is big.
Wow.
That's a really big number to take. I think they will keep it closer than people think. I don't think this is going to be like a 45-10 final or anything like that. I think they keep it within. They keep it close. Again, you know, Derrick Henry has proven he can run on the outside. He's not. He tore the Patriots
He's
up on the. He tore the Patriots up on the outside. I said it last week on the podcast that we just need to worry about the middle because, you know, and stacking the box because he's not a guy who's going to run on you on the outside. And what did he go and do? Absolutely tore us up on the outside.
And
he's proven that he can... What, wrong?
Wrong, yes.
Yes,
yeah.
Of course. I've been wrong before,
sure.
And I will be again. I will be wrong again, but not on my prop bets last week. We can talk about that a little bit later on. No, I'm taking the spread here again. 9.5 is big. I think Tennessee keeps it close. And they're the hottest team in football right now. Also, the Ravens haven't played since December 22nd.
Yeah. Fact.
And a lot of their players didn't suit up in that regular season
That's
finale.
A fact.
So I think Rust could be something that, you know, is gonna have to be shaken off.
Okay. All right. We got Dangles going Tennessee +9.5. Drew's taking the under, and I'm taking the first quarter Baltimore -3.5. That is the first AFC game of the weekend. There's another one coming, and it's coming next.
Left Coasters.
Okay, boys, we're on to Sunday. This is a very fun game. The best game of the week is happening at the end, but first we gotta get through the slog that is the AFC. Kansas City game. Dangles, what do we got early Sunday morning?
All right, let's go to Arrowhead. It's going to be cold, I assume. It's it's the Houston Texans fresh off their comeback win. The Bills leading 16-0 at halftime, and Houston somehow makes lemons out of lemonade, or other way around, lemonades
there
out of lemon. There it is. It comes back to win it. Buffalo, you stink.
See, I'm surprised, Drew, that you did not give a welfare check on your boy Borock.
You know, I let him usually reach out to me, and I know, like, this is the truth. Like, I felt, man, it I couldn't help but picture
that was hard to watch.
Picture the Lions. It just seemed like a Lions game. Like, how are they going to do this? And we could talk for hours on that Bills second half, but oh my God, just it just didn't make any sense. You know, Allen was so good in the first half. He's lateral. He's doing this, doing that, and then obviously, you know, Deshaun, Michael Jordan, Jackson.
Unbelievable.
I mean, just single-handedly won that game. But also the Bills just kind of like, like, why are they giving it to the corpse Frank Gore in the second half? Like, Devin Singletary was unstoppable. Why are they going for it in 4th and 27?
Well,
why are they doing any of that shit? I didn't understand.
So we have the Houston Texans fresh off of that win and the Bills debacle in Kansas City at Arrowhead, the second loudest place to play in the NFL. The line, gentlemen, 9.5 points here as well, and the total is 51.
Big total, big line. Interesting game to try and make money on. Kansas City, man. That defense is no longer a weakness for them. Their offense is better than their defense, obviously, but that defense is no longer a hamstring injury for them. They can play. They can get after the ball. They can rush after you. It's going to be interesting to see how Houston holds up because Buffalo, 7 sacks on Deshaun Watson. Seven sacks.
I'm gonna lead us off, Tony. This is I hit my best bet last week. We don't get extra points for that, but I took the Titans plus 4.5. Best bet. Keep it going. This is my best bet of the weekend, boys. And this one, it kind of freaks me out because it looked easy to me. I absolutely love the Chiefs here. I smell a blowout of epic proportions. The Texans suck. They're just not a good football team. You look back to week 16 against the Bucs. They needed 5 picks from Jameis Winston to win a 3-point game.
Yep.
You know, I don't believe in Bill O'Brien. I don't believe in any of that team. The Chiefs, you know, the Texans beat the Chiefs 31-24 on my birthday, October 13th. Another stat courtesy of RJ Bell. No team outscored in the season has advanced the conference championship game. The Texans have been outscored, and teams outscored in the season, the wild card, 10-5-1 against the spread in wild card weekend. Division round, 0-7 straight up, 1-6 against the spread.
So you're talking about outscored in all 16 games
correct,
of the season?
Correct.
You.
I believe the Chiefs here run it up. I like a blowout. I would even take an advanced line if I got better odds at plus or minus 14.5, possibly. I really believe in this, and you know, this could be a bit here because I'm predicting a blowout. So I'm gonna look like a fool if the Texans, God forbid, win or keep it close.
There's no chance.
But I really like the Chiefs. It's my best bet, -9. I think blowout. Back of the Brinks truck, baby.
I'm a little bit worried if I was a Chiefs fan because I don't think I have a player on my team that can cover DeAndre Hopkins. He did very, very well against one of the best corners in the game last week. He was the only player keeping them in the game. I'm a little bit worried if I was them that it might be a 15-catch day for DeAndre Hopkins. That's the thing that worries me. But again, Deshaun Watson, 7 sacks against the Bills. Kansas City's defensive line is not as good as the Bills, but they still can get to the quarterback. I'd be so worried. And that best play, that Michael Jordan play that Deshaun Watson had, should have been a sack. He got hit by 2 people at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he hits a knee there, the game's over and they lose. We're talking about the Bills right now. I don't know if Houston stands a chance. Dangles, you got a key matchup for this game?
Man, it's hard to look away from that. You know, who I assume will be Kendall Fuller on DeAndre Hopkins there for sure. I mean, that's, I think, the one way the Texans are going to tear you up is if they're able to get that deep threat, because that's what they do best, right, is the deep ball. You know, DeAndre Hopkins runs the routes over the middle, the shorter routes, the drags, you know, and then they beat you with Kenny Stills and Will Fuller deep when you're lulled into a sense of security. But
that's the
you
thing
know,
is you got Kenny Stills and Will Fuller, but Kansas City, we haven't talked about their offense. There are so many
weapons in
their offense.
Yeah, you know, Tyreek Hill obviously is going to be, I mean, you know.
Travis Kelce.
Kelce, of course.
I think Damian Williams has a good
fucking
day.
Fucking Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that guy.
No one talks about him because of Lamar and Christian McCaffrey and this and that. It's Patrick Mahomes.
He did his thing last
year. It's the reigning MVP, and he's healthy.
Yeah.
He's going to burn him.
I'm scared. I'd be scared if I was a Houston team. Let's get...
Back up the scissor lift.
Sorry.
Drew is feeling himself with the Kansas City -9.5 pick.
Wait, I have it at 9 here. We have a 9.5?
I'm getting it at 9.5. Yeah, I'm not giving you a push on this. Dangles, let's go to you because I got one that's kind of going to take the wind out of everyone's sails on this. Dangles, what's your bet?
Oh, okay. You know, I like the first half spread for Kansas City in here. It's -5. I think they'll be leading at half.
First half, Kansas City -5. You think they're leading at half, guys?
By a touchdown.
You're both talking about blowouts and how Kansas City's the better team and all that other stuff. Their defense has improved. Patty Mahomes is going to do things. I think the number's too big, not in the spread, but in the total. 51 is a lot of points, especially if you think it's going to be a blowout. If they're winning 35-14, we're not there. That's not the total. 51's a big, big, big number. I'm going under 51, and I still think it's a blowout like you guys. I don't like taking 9.5-point spreads in the playoffs. As Drew said, there are only 8 teams in this dance. They're in here for a reason. There's a chance Houston gets a cover on that. There's a chance it's a close game. I still don't think there's a lot of points scored on the Houston side to get that number above 51. That's why I'm taking the under. And again, so far, Tony's been the worst gambler last week, but no one knew it was coming last week. No one knew except for Diggity Dangles, the common man, winning this game. Dangles has the first half, Kansas City minus 5. Drew's taking Kansas City on the game, minus 9.5. And I'm taking
under 51.
I
got some dispute here. My book is sharp. I got minus 9.
Hey, if it ends up being a push, you can talk to me later. But okay, if you think it's a blowout, you're talking about getting a minus 14
line.
Fair.
You're fair.
We're going with that. But again,
that's fair.
All three of these games, big spreads. Big spreads. But there is one game left. There is one game left on Tony Cavallo's birthday weekend, and it involves his bye week team, the Green Bay Packers. Let's go to that next.
Lift Coasters.
Okay, boys, we have arrived. The only man in this booth to have a team still remaining in the playoffs is yours truly, Tony the King.
How does it feel,
Cavallo?
How does it feel?
I am elated.
I'm happy for you, buddy.
Elated. I cannot wait.
Alone.
I am going to have a birthday weekend. I am not taking any work from the moment of this podcast until the Green Bay game happens. I am that excited to have a birthday weekend of relaxation and wonderful football. Did I wish the Patriots and the Saints were involved to make it a little bit more interesting? Of course I do. We get what we get, though, and we get Green Bay and Seattle Dangles. What do we have going on in Lambeau Field?
Oh, it's going to be a fun one. I know you're excited for this. I'm excited for this. It's Russ versus Aaron. Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
Unbelievable.
It's Pete versus Matt, the old grizzled vet
versus Matt.
Pete versus Matt or whatever. Anyway, Seattle on the road again. They just can't wait to get on the road again, this time to Green Bay, Wisconsin at Lambeau Field. Seahawks, Packers, the line is 4 points. 4 points in favor of the Packers, the home team. Total's 47.
It opened at 5. People are betting the Seahawks. Drew, what are your early feelings here?
Man, so, you know, the Seattle game, I actually couldn't watch most of that because I was in Santa's Village.
Being a good dad?
Ice skating for the first time with an 8-year-old, which was lovely. But I did notice that Wentz went out early, and I assumed incorrectly that the Seahawks would run away with it. Under was just one of the best bets of the weekend, if I say so myself.
Yep.
I just really have a hard time, and you know I've been down on the Packers all year.
Yep.
I've also been down on the Seahawks all year.
Yep.
They don't get margin. They win a lot of close games. Obviously, both these teams have good quarterbacks. Seattle's run game, this whole beast mode thing, yeah, he can get goal line carries. He can dive over piles. Like, they have no run game to speak of.
Zero
run game to speak of. Now, DK Metcalf, man, people called him, you know, a combine all-star, an Instagram model. That dude's a baller.
I was wrong on him.
I think a lot of people were.
Yeah.
Big-ass dude. Obviously, Lockett, Hollister, and Russ. I really, really just don't, like, you texted me, Tony. You said, how do you see the Packers losing this game? I don't see him losing the game.
It's tough.
I just don't see him losing the game. Rodgers is old enough in his career now to know he's one game away from the Super Bowl, as simple as that sounds.
Yep.
So that's my thinking. I think that the Seahawks, kind of a depleted team with no run game, I think they have an uphill battle to climb. I will talk about what I think is going to happen a little later.
Dangles, I want you to go before I tell the listeners a little story.
You want me to go?
Yeah, talk about this game.
Oh, okay.
I don't want you to leave.
Oh, okay.
Get out of here, Dangles.
All right, well, I guess you're going to engineer
your little spaceship station.
You know, it's going to sound weird. Tony, I don't know what you'll think about this. Obviously, I'm going to be watching Za'Darius Smith. He's been, like, one of the hottest defensive players in the NFL in the last few weeks. He absolutely tortures offensive lines. He's super fast and super strong. I'm going to definitely be looking for him to get after Russ. Obviously, Russ, you know, can make magic. But one guy I'm going to be looking at here, because I think he's been kind of overlooked in this offense, but he's gotten a big role, and it's been growing and growing, and his snap count and his target count has been growing, and that's Allen Lazard. He has supplanted Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Geronimo Allison as the second option in that offense, and that's been a huge growth for him. I know nobody ever talks about this guy. I've only watched him in a couple of games this year, but he's shown he has the ability to break a game open. I think he's pretty high in the league when it comes to yards per target. He's a guy who could be a difference maker because Davante Adams is going to be in double coverage all day long. You know that. And obviously, you know that Aaron Jones and their running game is going to be a big factor. But Aaron Rodgers clearly has a trust in Alan Lazard. They have a good relationship. I think he's maybe a dark horse to have a huge game and be an offensive threat that they actually have to account for.
I hope that's the Seahawks. Right. I do hope that's right. I mean, my receiving core is probably the worst part of my team outside of Davante Adams. I don't even care if Davante Adams is going to be double covered. I know he's going to show up. He has shown up every game of his career in clutch moments. We have a lot of straight line guys in Green Bay on the receiving core, and we don't have anyone in the middle of the field. That's the worst part of our team. Jimmy Graham stinks. Going up against his old team, though, interested. I might be taking Jimmy Graham first touchdown of the game. I can see it happening.
That would be poetic.
I'm interested to see what happens, boys, but now for a little bit of a story. If you guys can remember, and I'm sure you can, the last time these two teams met in the playoffs was one of the darkest days in Green Bay history.
I remember vividly.
And Tony Cavallo was in dire straits himself. He had not making a lot of money at the time and accepted a new job as a waiter at this hot restaurant on Melrose, okay? Mm. The first day I had to come into work was the day of those two championship games. It was New England Patriots versus Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck, and the Green Bay versus Seattle. Now, I hated Seattle. I hated Seattle for a long, long time. I thought they were a fake team even back then. And I had to stand there. There was supposed to be a sports bar, but the games were being played in the back, and I had to work the front. I did not get to watch any play of these games. Any single play of these games.
Ouch.
But I would sneak to the back and try and catch the score, and I noticed Green Bay's up huge. Holy shit. Green Bay's up huge. I happened to see a Russell Wilson pick live in my eyes. I'm like, holy fuck, we're going to do it. I'm going to get to play the New England Patriots. Me and my father's dream is Packers versus Patriots in the Super Bowl. And as you know, they come back.
Onside kick. What
do I get to see? I didn't even get to see the onside kick play. I walked to the back during overtime, and I saw my man Tremont Williams get burned by some fourth-string wide receiver.
Doug Baldwin,
they go
right?
down the field. No, it wasn't even Doug Baldwin. It was a nobody. It was a guy who wasn't even on the team anymore.
Really?
Like a Javon Kurse type player
that caught that big ball in overtime. Yeah.
And I got to watch that play and got to watch Green Bay fold. And I don't even know how it happened. Worst part, I'm wearing my Green Bay jersey because I'm excited. And we got allowed to wear jerseys where we're repping our teams, trying to get the sports bar mix going. I got to wear my jersey, and I'm serving the front, the patio. And what happens after that game? Well, all the sports bars on the corner let out, and how many Seahawks fans walked by and sat now at my restaurant that I had to serve? And every one of them was nice. No one was a dick, but they all said, well, you guys, you know, you put up a good fight. It was a great game, man.
Oh, God.
Sorry what happened to you. And I had to serve these motherfuckers food. Sorry, Mrs. Crookston. And had to watch them tip me their measly pity money as I served them baked eggs and mimosas. One of the darkest days of my life. I still have never watched a single play from that game. I cannot bring myself to it. But now,
do you think you will one day? Maybe
no,
one
never.
Day.
No,
but
point.
Now, this week, it comes back. Seattle is going to Lambeau Field to play Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, two kings. I cannot wait for this game. But gentlemen, I texted you during the week. I said to Drew, I said to you, how do the Packers lose this game against a team that can't run the ball? Against a team that only has DK Metcalf as a threat, a team that barely has a defense. How do the Green Bay Packers lose this game? I went to bed that night and I woke up, same feeling I have now, scared. I am scared of this Seattle team because you know why? This 8-1 on the road Seattle team, they do not die.
Nope.
They do not die.
Nope. Nope.
Doesn't matter how many times this season they have gone into halftime with a deficit. Doesn't matter how on the edge they are. San Fran ruined this team on the last game of the regular season, and they came back to make it a game. They do not die. They will come out of halftime. Their pulse will be normal. They'll be ready to go. They'll be bringing their lunch pail, ready to go to work, and they do not die. Russell Wilson is truly magic, and I am nervous and scared of this game.
I mean, I think the potential also is there, Tony, for Matt LaFleur to get completely outcoached. Pete Carroll has been here before. He has done this.
Exactly.
He is lost on the biggest stage in the world,
exactly.
Making the dumbest call in the world. Like, this guy is a grizzled playoff vet. He knows his stuff. Not to take anything away from Matt LaFleur or what he's done in Green Bay this year. That team clearly loves to play for him, and he probably is not looking at this as, oh, it's my first playoff game. He's looking at it like any other Sunday if he's smart, and I know he is. But you can't, I don't think you can look away from the possibility that there's just an experience gap there, and the possibility exists that Pete Carroll just out-coaches Matt LaFleur
terrified,
flat out.
Terrified of this game. That being said, Green Bay -4 is my bet because, motherfuckers, I've been riding this Green Bay team all year.
You got to.
Since week one. Since week one, I've been betting on the Packers, and they have been making me money, and that's all I'm trying to do on this show is make you money. Green Bay -4 at home, Lambeau, against a weakened Seattle team. They are going to win this game by more than 4 points. I'll be terrified the whole entire time I'm watching it, and you two better be with me when we're watching it. Drew, what's your bet for this game?
Tony, you talked last week about the Seahawks' slow starts.
Yes.
The Packers have had fast starts this year.
Yes.
The spread was really bothering me because I am afraid not only of the Seahawks but potential backdoor. The only way I could look here is a little first half action.
Mm.
I like Green Bay -3 in the first half. I think the Packers start out hot, which they typically have done this season.
Yep.
The Seahawks start out slow,
yep,
which they typically have done this season. And the Packers have a comfortable lead at halftime, just in time to have you lose your stomach in a nail-biting second half.
Ooh.
Give me Green Bay -3 in the first half.
I'm not going to lie, folks. If you're with me watching this game, you're going to see – I've been thinking about this too. I don't know how I want to watch this game.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. We got to get together, buddy.
I don't know whether I want to be at a sports bar. I don't know whether I want to be at someone's house. I don't know whether if I want to be alone. I might just want to be like in solitude, because I will tell you this. I will not eat anything. I will not drink anything. I will be taking my CBD oil to calm me down, and I will not sit down. For 1 second of this game will I sit down. During halftime, I might need to take a walk. I know my buddy TJ, a good friend of the program, has dogs. I might go take a dog for the walk just to clear my head. I will be so effing nervous this whole entire game.
I'll tell you where not to watch it. My house, when Sling TV goes out because of internet problems.
Oh, I'd punch you in the face.
Yeah, of course.
I'd punch
myself
in the face.
Yeah,
I'd punch you square in the face. Dangles, you are the leader on this squad of the Making the Picks Wild Card Weekend. You are hot. What do you got going for my team?
Final score, 33-31, Green Bay Packers. Seattle +4 is my bet.
Oh, on that score, you should take the over and bet the mortgage on it, bud.
I know, right?
It's going to be a high-scoring game.
I will say,
If
I wasn't a Green Bay fan, I'd be leaning under right now. I got to take my boys, but I'd be leaning under in this game.
Watching that Seahawks team play, I would never take them over anything.
Excited.
Like, I'm talking point total.
So excited. Yeah. So effing excited. By the way, if you listen to my prop bets, I know Dangles won a few, but I gave you that prop bet about Super Bowl matchups, how you just got to bet the bye week's team,
yeah,
and hope they hit. New Orleans and New England are out. Those bye week team matchups are just getting better. The spreads on this weekend just make those bye week matchups better.
No, yeah, that's a good looking bet for sure.
So it's going to be interesting, but let's get to our teasers real fast. We're going to do our teasers for the whole weekend. Before we get going, let's start with Shea for the Sharp.
So my first ever 3-team 10-point teaser lost. I wanted to do a quick Shea for the Sharp school, guys, if I may. this is when Shea for the Sharp school goes wrong. I was all over the Seahawks Eagles line all weekend because it was fluctuating like the stock market.
Yeah.
I ended up getting Seattle at +1, and I teased them to 6 at +7. It flipped all the way, and I got Philly at -1.
Mm.
So what I did in a low-scoring game, which I correctly bet the under and assumed to be tough to get margin, I took both. I teased both. Seattle +7, Philly +7, knowing I had a 14-point margin to try to hit a middle,
yep,
and win double bets, and I was exposed of $20 if and only if my second leg of the 2-team teaser hit, which was New Orleans +2.5. And not only did I have +2.5, me and my buddy Phil would have hit a $500 square if the game would have ended at 20-17. We had Vikings 0, Saints 7. It was a brutal Sunday at Santa's Workshop. that is when Schaefer the Sharps Camley School goes wrong. Saying that, I'm off the 3-team teaser this week. I've told you about my prediction on the Chiefs. I'm going to do a 2-team, 6.5-point teaser. I'm taking the Chiefs at -2.5. And who am I pairing this with, Tony? Oh, my God. Plug your nose. Close your eyes. I can't believe I'm doing this. The Green Bay Packers +2.
Woo!
I just don't see them losing to an inferior Seahawks team. Dangles, all the points you said, I am afraid of. First-year head coach, Russ Wilson, Pete Carroll. I just don't see how Aaron Rodgers, he's got a sense this is one of his last chances to get to the promised land here.
Yep.
He's one game away. Everyone talks about if you get to the conference championship, you're one game away from the Super Bowl where anything can happen.
Yep.
It's basically a kind of a game 7 type thing. Every playoff game is a game 7, obviously NFL. Kansas City, -2.5, Green Bay +2.
I'm also doing a two-team 6.5-point teaser, except I'm not taking the sides because still with those numbers, I don't like what's going on. I'm taking the totals. I already took the under 51 in the Kansas City game. I'm teasing that up to a 57.5 under and pairing it with the Green Bay Packers under 53.5. I think Seattle scores a little bit more than they did last week, but that's still a team that cannot move the ball on offense. So under 53.5 in Green Bay, under 57.5 in Kansas City, hoping to hit my first teaser in a while. Dangles.
This week was actually kind of easy for me as opposed to last week, which I had to think about. So I'm hoping that means no, it just kind of like I looked at the lines and it was kind of just like, oh, that's it. It was just like the first thing. Just like the first thing that jumped out at me.
Just kind of like our over last week on the Saints game.
Yeah, well, you know what? You win some, you lose some. Yeah. I'm still going to walk out of here with my head held high after that prop bet performance.
Oh, no. Trust me. You were impressed. I'm saying all three of us like the over.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping this one turns out better. I'm teasing Baltimore down to -3, and I'm teasing Kansas City down to -3 as well. Both were at 9.5 starting this. This eliminates that big spread. It gets us to that nice even number of 3 points, and I like it. Let's go for it. Let's do it.
Dangles, I literally have that written down. I like that too. The only reason that's me to press pause on that is because playoffs.
That's as good a reason as any.
The goddamn Saints. I did not see the Saints losing last week. Schaefer the Sharps teaser just got absolutely burned, so I'm a little apprehensive to lay the lumber on two heavy favorites.
All right, that's all of our bets for the weekend. The divisional round, usually the best weekend in all of the NFL, but we're looking at a championship round that's going to have some juicy, juicy championship matchups. It's my birthday weekend, though, and you know what that means.
Happy birthday, Tony!
Happy birthday!
Let's go, Green Bay. But before we leave, we're going to do this at the end. We got to recap what happened in the playoff fantasy challenge.
Can we please recap it?
Cannot wait to see what happens, and that is coming next.
Left Coasters.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, before we leave, we have to recap the playoff fantasy challenge. Last week, we all drafted a team of players in the playoffs. You can only get one player from each team, and as they move on, they get multipliers. The problem is, if you pick losers, you're in trouble. For instance, I picked four players that lost last weekend, so now I'm down from 9 players to 5 total. Drew, on the other hand, picked players that won. He has 4 players getting double points this week, including Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook. Going to be tough to catch up to him. He also has the lead in points, 117.3. 117.3 scored for wild card weekend. Dangles in second place, 57.7. I'm in third at 48.72. I created a new rule for this game, Dangles, and I think you're going to enjoy it.
Wait. You created a new rule? We already started.
Yeah, I made this game. I can do whatever I want.
It would not be a Tony Cavallo game if the rules didn't change in the middle of it, would it?
Because, Dangles,
on the seventh day, God rested, Dangles.
Because, Dangles,
and changed the rules of life, apparently.
I felt bad. We only have 9 spots, but there are 12 playoff teams, Dangles. I felt bad that we were leaving those other teams off
of our
roster.
Okay, first of all, I know that's a farce because you started it with I felt bad, and I just know that's not true.
So, Dangles, what we're going to do here, as you do every week in fantasy, what do you do every week in fantasy? After the games have played,
I win.
No. after the games have been played, what do you do to lead up to the week?
You set your lineup.
Mm-hmm. You drop and you.
Oh, sure, waiver wire.
You play the waiver wire, Dangles. So the new rule is, and we'll be doing this every week up until the Super Bowl. We are taking one player that we don't have on our roster to replace a player that we've lost. One player not on our roster to replace a player that we watched. So the key is, you cannot take a player from a team you already have rostered. So the three teams that you don't have represented, you get to draft a player from that team right here, right now. And the order is going to be based on the scores of the week before. So Drew will go first. He has free reign of anyone who doesn't already have represented on his roster. Dangles is going second, and finally, I am going third. Drew, so far you lost Michael Thomas, Dallas Goedert, and the New England defense, which means you can get a wide receiver, a tight end, or a defense. Go.
If I'm not mistaken, Tony, I also have lost Devin Singletary as my flex.
Oh, that's true.
So that means I can take a flex.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't have a San Francisco 49er on my team.
Oh, boy.
So I think to add to the dream team, I'm going to take Mr. Raheem Mostert.
Wow. Now, this is a key, Dangles. If for instance, he took a player that had played last week, he is not getting a multiplier for this week. You only get multipliers for the weeks they are on your team. Drew took a San Francisco 49er. Dangles, you are up, my man. You lost Alvin Kamara. You lost James White, and you lost your Philadelphia kicker. So you can take a running back. You can also take a person that is your flex, because that's what James White was, or you can take a kicker. Where are you going?
This is a tough one.
Tell them the teams you have available, Dangles.
Yeah. Let's see here. I have 49ers are out. I got their defense. I've got Minnesota, so that leaves me with a couple of wide receivers. I don't think Stephon Diggs or Adam Thielen have homes, correct?
He's correct. Not.
Okay. I've got a Texan. I've got a Chief. I've got a Seahawk. I've got a Packer. I've got a Raven. I don't have a Titan, so there's Deion Lewis.
God. Has he played?
Lies. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just gonna, Derrick Henry's gone already. I'm not taking their wide receiving core.
He's got a comfortable home, Dangles. He's
no,
very comfortable.
The best plan here for me, if this is how we're doing it, is to take a flex. I'm going to go with Adam Thielen from the Minnesota Vikings and install him at my flex slot.
Got it. There so go. Adam Thielen is now a part of Diggity Dangs' team. Last place is I. I lost Drew Brees. I lost Miles Sanders. I lost Julian Edelman. I lost the Buffalo defense. I lost everybody. I lost effing everybody. I have a lot of players coming in, Kittle and Kelsey, to try and help me try to catch Drew, but it's going to be tough. So I'm going to go with the man that called into the show. I don't think the Vikings win, but I do think the man who threw his helmet to the ground, who stomped his feet like a little boy, who cried for his mommy and said, "You got to throw me the ball more." I think they come back and have Diggs have an electric game. Thielen is not right. Dalvin Cook will be stopped. Diggs is going to be a game changer in this game. Put Stephon Diggs on the Tony Cavallo fan wagon.
Wow.
Stephon Diggs is now part of my team. So Drew added the Raheem Mostert as his flex. Dangle put Adam Thielen at his flex. And Stephon Diggs is replacing Julian Edelman, who had so many injuries he couldn't even catch a ball in the biggest moment of the season for New England. Sorry again to bring that up, Dangles. I'm sure I won't do it again for the rest of this podcast. That is it for the Left Coast Gamblers divisional weekend. Very happy, very excited. Happy birthday to me. Hopefully Green Bay, we're talking about them next week in good faith and not about bad things, because Mike McCarthy's back. I don't want to talk about Mike McCarthy anymore. I want to talk about these Green Bay Packers. It's going to be a big weekend for Tony Cavallo, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crooks, and we are the Left Coast Gamblers, and we will be back next week for the NFC and AFC Championship Round.
Woo!
Very excited for it. This is when the times get good. Making you money left and right. And as we said last week, how did we end the show last week?
Yeah, I was like,
I think
don't.
We let you.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Press Box Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Press Box Access.